anybody that can ever get out of your knocking, anytime God
wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we receive supernatural surge. We receive a supernatural surge in the name of Jesus. Have you been blessed by our new series thus far? On Monday morning, after I put the sermon excerpt, somebody messaged me and said, what kind of early morning violence is this? I said, we are living in violence. The devil is violent, so we have to be much more violent. Are you with me? The church needs to wake up and be more violent. We have to be more violent about our teachings. And by violent, I don't mean killing and all of that. We have to raise solid believers, solid Christians. And it is the kind of things you eat that determines how your body develops. You know, you have heard that statement, you are what you eat, right? You are what you eat. So if the average churchgoer in this generation is not solid, it's because of what has been fed to them. And so we have to bring back these kind of teachings on consecration, radical devotion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, we began introducing the subject of radical devotion 2 Sundays ago and what we called response. And then, we re-emphasized it again during the midweek service. And then on Sunday, we started talking about set apart, right? And then, what did we say? The three major ways... A consecrated Christian sets himself apart. Number one was what? Priority. Say it well, priority. So we said the consecrated man makes Christ his priority. Are you with me? The second one was what? Purity. The consecrated man lives a life of purity towards God. Sometimes, when we talk like this, I've been criticized as a legalistic preacher, to be honest. Some folks have come to my DMs on WhatsApp, Instagram, and commented, you are legalistic, you are preaching law. I said, so, if I'm preaching law, what would you say Jesus is saying? But in strange times, so, this is why I think after our 7th anniversary, September 1st, I think I need to start training some ministers. So how can you say Jesus is teaching the Old Testament, that Jesus did not teach New Testament, that New Testament started after he died and resurrected? You don't know who Jesus is. That's the problem. Everything Jesus taught is still his Old Testament. Jesus is not, Jesus is the Testament. I don't know if you're getting me. Jesus is the Testament. So will you call Jesus legalistic when he says, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery? Look and imagine the standard of Jesus that we say, if your eye wants to sin against you, pluck it out. Of course, he's not saying pluck out your eyes naturally, he's telling you the kind of vehemence required. The kind of vehemence. You know, let me tell you the real difference between law and grace. What is the real difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The Old Testament is trying to produce in men what only God can produce by instructions. I'm sure you have heard me say before that the Old Testament is regulations, but the New Testament is a regulator. Who has heard me say that before? So, the Old Testament is showing you the law of God, what God's standard is. However, the problem is that man cannot meet up the standard because he's still in sin. Are you with me? And so, What was the purpose of giving the law in the Old Testament? To reveal to men that there is sin in them. Are you with me? So the law was not given for them to keep as it were, or to keep and attain righteousness, but to reveal in man that he needs a savior. So, for instance, if there's someone here who cannot walk and is reclined to a chair, and maybe imagine there were 1,000 people here, nobody will know. But by the time you say, everybody stand up, that deficiency will be revealed. Are you with me? So, apart from Adam and Eve, every other person that came from Cain and Abel did not know that there was something wrong with them. They would have been born thinking they were normal. Are you following me? They would have come thinking that they were okay. And the Israelites thought they were okay too. That's why they were telling Moses, give us the law, we'll keep it. When Moses now gave them the law, it showed them that you cannot keep the law. You are in sin. Only Adam and Eve knew that there was something wrong with them. Cain and Abel, everybody afterwards. That's why you meet the natural man on the road. You ask him, are you a good person? Everybody believes they are good people. But you see, the standard of God shows you that there is something wrong with you. Are you with me? And that you need a savior. When you receive the savior now gives you the power to keep the law of God. In fact, he writes the law in your heart. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? If a Christian does not know this, you see why I used to say, we have to go back to the basics. Praise Jesus. So, even if you don't agree with all I'm saying, I think Paul is the master grace preacher. Paul is the originator of grace, Apostle Paul. You will see one text. I will show you one text in the Bible like this. You'll be wondering if it's New Testament or Old Testament you're reading. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. That is why at the immersion camp this year, one of the things I'm going to teach very well is the authority of scripture. See, without scripture, we are finished. Without scripture, somebody can just shout, Jesus is not better than you. What are you saying? That's humanism. Oh, you are going to secularism. That's where it's going to. That there is, in all men, there is beauty. There is energy. Just manifest the energy that you do. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are saying, Jesus came to rescue you from sin. How can you now be, you and him be on the same level? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Everybody, read this text. Jesus. What does this text mean? Somebody just try it. Take your mic and just tell me something. What does this text mean? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Read.
Yeah, like I won't take it line by line, but I'll just like...
Okay, what? Yeah.
Precision of what he's trying to say is that at the end of the day, like we cannot be equally yoked with the system of the world. Like if you're walking with God, you cannot be playing both sides. Like you have the precision is like you have to move with precision. You can't mix old wine and new wine. Like you have to be holy. Like
emoji. You don't feel like five scriptures there.
like Christ said, like unless you're born again, like you cannot enter the kingdom of
God. Okay. Wait. That was a good one. Celebrate our brother. Do you know what I'm trying to do? You know why I stopped you? What you are doing, you are explaining it as someone that knows the Bible. Are you with me? You are explaining it like someone who, you know a lot of scriptures, and you are explaining it like someone who has already been hearing spiritual things. If that text was brought on a literal ground, what does it mean? I don't know if you are getting me. Imagine you have not read any other thing. Just read that text. Put it up. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. So number one, before this place, there are some promises he was talking about. Are you with me? Number two, the people that these promises were given to were people who can be called brethren. He called them dearly beloved. So it's not outsiders.
Are you with me?
Number three, he now gives them an instruction that because of the promises I've given to you, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. That means the dearly beloved, brethren, we that are born again, we still have a responsibility to cleanse ourselves. And the cleansing is not just in the flesh, but in the spirit. Then he says something else that is almost controversial. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Have you ever heard that argument before? That somebody says, you cannot be holier than another person. I cannot be holier than you. But this text is saying that some people are more holier than other people. Because he's telling you, perfecting holiness, meaning you can become more perfect in holiness. That is the literal meaning of this text. Well, I want to ask you, is everybody here a sincere question? When last, in the last 5 years, did you hear this text anywhere? Anywhere, when last did you hear this text? Have you even heard? I'm not trying to shame anybody. When last did you hear this text anywhere in the last 5 years? If you have, raised your hand. Out of how many of us? Only one. And one and a half. So that means if we are really reading the Bible, there are many things we will not be doing. I said it last, I think, was it last year? This is 2026, 2025, early 2025, when we were still at Silverbed. A pastor messaged me. I said, Beyonce is on Instagram. Beyonce has more than 300 million Instagram followers. If you go there, I'm sure at least 10 million are Christians. It should be more than Abby. The day I stumbled on that page, I said, "My wallah, I must not come back here. I block because he's naked now. He's naked from beginning to the end. What? That's nothing. That's all. Yes, he has fine voice. Praise God. Jesus. So now." And ask, my question is, how are our other brethren seeing it every day and surviving? It's either they have compromised their conscience. Please, are you following me? Oh yeah, let's do today's Bible study. we need to ask ourselves, how are they watching it? How are they doing it? Let me tell you, when the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Do you know what that means? That at any time in your life, that there is anything that has more preeminence over the glory of Christ and the honor of Christ in your life, it's a problem. Do you know how problematic it is that there was a time when among believers, who remembers when Game of Thrones was raining? My God. Every cluster of believers talking. In church after church, they'll be saying, don't worry, the new series, this next episode is out. Hey! Me, I told you my story on Sunday night. When it came out, I was literally feeling fear of missing out. I was literally feeling like I have missed out. And I was saying, involve me. Telling people, involve me now. Involve me. Waiting the happen. Tell me. Then I, at least, maybe by the providence of God, I stumbled on a place where they were watching it in the university. What I saw, the 2 minutes, I said, God, please, I don't want to be involved again. What? I complained. I called one brother. I said, how did you watch that thing? He said, you know, we are all adults. I said, brother, how did you watch that thing? How did you watch it?
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say, Pastor, it's okay now. It's okay. It's okay. We are going to be pure. It's okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So today, I will try. If we can't finish today, we'll continue on Sunday. Amen. I want to talk about something we've called Satisfied. Radical Devotion Part 3.
Glory!
Let me tell you what we are really doing in this series. We are laying the building blocks of Christian consecration in your heart. Like, these are teachings that early believers, old-time saints, learned properly. When you listen to the old hymns and hear the way they sang and wrote their hymns, you will know that some of the things we are talking about was, are you with me? It was built into their fabric. We've called it Satisfied. Glory! The word satisfied, if you check AI, it will tell you, is an adjective that means feeling pleased or happy because you got what you wanted. When a person is satisfied, it means he is feeling pleased or happy because he has gotten what he wanted. Are you with me? Also, to be satisfied means you have come to a place of rest about something. You are satisfied with that thing. Are you with me? Now, how does this have to do with consecration and the subject of radical devotion? What does it have to do with that? Can I tell you? Everything. Everything. You see, this subject of satisfied, of being satisfied, it has everything to do with radical devotion and being consecrated to God. So, Pastor, how? Number one, a consecrated man is the one who has found satisfaction in Christ. Glory! A consecrated man is the one who has found satisfaction and, if you may add, and rest in Christ. Number two, just to build up on that, it is only the man who has found true satisfaction in Christ that can be consecrated to him. I'm saying the same thing in different ways. It is only the man who has found true satisfaction in Christ that can be consecrated to him. Now you add this. We'll talk about it. If you finish this emphasis, the next subject will, when we start talking about Jesus' joy, we'll talk about it. The consecrated man has found joy and delight in Christ. Because, you see, anything that will give you satisfaction must also inherently give you joy. Are you with me? You cannot be satisfied with a food that you don't already like. Are you with me? There are some things that people love so much. When they eat it enough, they are now satisfied. But if they don't love it and if it's not giving them joy to it at a certain level, you cannot get satisfied with it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to show you how serious this is. See, the subject of being satisfied in God and satisfied in Christ as the root of consecration is so central to the Bible message that the very first temptation man ever faced was to make him believe that God is not sufficient for his satisfaction and rest. The very first temptation was the devil to bring in man to the point where he believed that God is not sufficient for his satisfaction and for his rest. Praise the Lord. See, and man began a search for satisfaction and rest outside God that eventually made him restless. Look at Genesis 3. I will say that again, right? I said the subject of satisfaction and rest in Christ is so central to the biblical message that the very first temptation man ever faced was when the devil made him believe that God is not sufficient for his satisfaction and rest. Are you with me? And man, in his search for satisfaction and rest outside God, became restless. Genesis 3 from verse 4. Let me start with verse 1. Let's not rush it. Can I be honest with you? In a short while, you see, this is about Bible studies, eh? If you come late, you will not even see overflow 7 to enter. See, can I be honest with you? One of the prayers I have is that the church returns back to Bible study like this. One ministry that modeled this thing very strongly was Deeper Life Bible Church. Go and check the Christians from when they began their camp meeting in 1975, 1970, 1975, 1980, 1980. Go and check those Christians. Look, when you meet them, you know that they had something solid. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any other animal in the garden. And then that beast the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan is cunning. Do you know what he did? He first of all did what is called a hasty generalization. You see that thing? All pastors are thieves. That's the tool of the devil. Hasty generalization. All women are lovers of money. All men are scum. That's the trick of the devil. You just saw it here. If I said, had God said, you should not eat of any tree of the garden, then the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Actually, God did not say you cannot touch it, lest ye die. Now, why is that important? Because when you say God said you should not touch it, and you touch it and you did not die, that means God was not really correct about what he said. You see, this is why teaching ministry is important. Because as long as the devil can twist it, when, that's why we are talking about all the things we are saying. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, must you correct what this person said? Just preach your own. I said, no. We don't, if you know me very well, I don't talk about everything. I'm very busy to even talk. When I see the one that will destroy the future of the faith and the believers that are rising, I say, no, we'll talk about this one. No, we'll talk about it. Because once the devil can begin to twist it, change it small, small, after a while, you don't know what you believe. You don't even know when you have become confused. You will not know. Praise the Lord. Lest they die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil's trick was to make Eve believe that God is hiding something from you. You see this, Jesus, you are doing. See, there is real enjoyment outside here. And you are dulling. That's the trick of the devil. You know, one day, should I talk about this? Yes, I'll talk about it. If you want to fight, they will fight with their keypad. The girl was telling me that. Ha! If you know how girls are making money in this Abuja, say, I will just connect you to one large. You're just dulling. You are dulling. Ha! You are dulling. You see, that thing is a trick of the devil. Are you following me? It's a trick. The devil's trick is to make you believe that God is not giving you the full enjoyment. God is not giving you the full satisfaction, that he's holding some part of it. Are you with me? And then he says, then shall your eyes be open, and ye shall be as gods. What does it mean, ye shall be as gods? Some people said they were already made in the image and likeness of God. So Satan was trying to tell them, you will be gods, whereas God already made you a god. Not really exactly. That's not exactly what he was trying to say. What Satan was saying, I don't even think Eve understood it. What he said is, you will be as gods. Not you will be a god. As gods, knowing good and evil, meaning you will be willing, you will be deciding what is good and evil for your own self. God will no longer be the one to tell you what is good and evil. You will be as gods. Just the same way God has the prerogative, because he's God, to determine what is right and what is wrong. Now, you will no longer need God to determine what is right or wrong for you. You will now determine it for yourself. My body, my choice. Nobody should tell me what to do. Is it not me? You are becoming as gods. Are you following me? Knowing good and evil. And in verse 6, the woman began to buy into it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she didn't see it before. It was after she heard things, she said, it began to make sense. Are you with me? And that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. The reason why Adam ate was because she also sold that same lie to him. Are you with me? And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Kai. Oh my God. I can't finish. I will try. Because this is just introduction. This is just introduction. See, I want to ask you a question. If you read the last verse in Genesis 2, was Adam and Eve not naked? The Bible says they were both naked but not ashamed. So what was the difference between them being naked and not ashamed, and then they ate the fruit and they were now naked? It is that before they took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil and sinned against God, there was lack, but the lack was covered by their sense of sufficiency in God. After they rebelled against God, they now became conscious of their lack and could not see God's sufficiency any longer. This thing is serious. And now, they are both facing the same challenges before the rebellion and sinning against God. It's the same nakedness that was there, but the response in their spirit was different. You see, when you are ever at that point where you believe that God is not sufficient enough, you're already out of line. You see that thing that happened in verse 6, where when she saw it was good for food, it was because she listened to God. One of the ways you know that you are under spiritual attack is when your opinions have started changing. When you notice that worldly opinions have begun to seep into your mind. Let me give you one. If I say this now, some people will think I'm sure. I've been in the world, but the world that I was in was I was ministering to the lost. When I was... God did not allow me... I encountered God very early. Are you with me? Have you ever heard people say things like... Should I talk about this? I'm even appalled to say it. I'm embarrassed to say it. I'm embarrassed. But I want to show you what I would try. So those days, I didn't know about all those things until I went to the airfield. Hi. You know, there are things you hear and you wish you can unhear what you just heard. So those days, They used to say, when a guy and a girl are dating and they not work, they will not say, but at least you chop now. At least you gain something. So they are telling the guy that he should not feel bad that they did not eventually get married. At least he slept with her. So he ate something. So at least that's, you have heard that one as what you gained. I remember hearing them talk. I said, come here. I need to slap you. Come. I need to slap you. I had to call one of them to my room those days. I had to sit him down. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, why are you thinking like this? What kind of mindset is this? I said, David, you don't understand. You have spent all your life in church. You don't understand. I said, please, I will never understand. Don't make me understand. You see, I was not asking him, how did you become like this? It was other engineers that spoiled him. They told him, no, don't let it go. You eat something. Just pretend like you are still interested. When you know it's not, just... I said, oh. It's, you see, do you know, it's a different thing when somebody made a mistake and felt bad. And he's trusting God. No, I shouldn't have made that mistake. Then you are bragging. You are bragging. You go to your fellow guys and be bragging. You don't know that's what Satan has taught you. So put yourself in the shoes, reverse the shoes. Let it be your daughter. You be the father. And you hear boys bragging like that about your daughter. What will you do? How should you feel? Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? And it goes to the other side too. Ladies will say, at least you chop his money. You collected enough, Abi. Ah, you see, yes, no problem. I ate enough money. That's the worldly mindset, worldly ways of thinking. Praise the Lord. The way we are quiet like this. Please, are you with me? Somebody shout glory. Now, another thing you need to notice here is, before they rebelled against God, even though they were naked, there was a glory of God that seemed not to make that nakedness matter. Are you with me? Now, in the search for being as God, you have fallen back to, you have come to your worst state. Are you with me? God is now the same God you are trying to outsmart is the God that properly covered you. You try to use fig leaves to cover yourself. The God you are trying to outsmart in trying to be wiser than him or to be as God is the same person that came and clothed you properly. Are you with me? Look at Genesis 3 verse 21. And unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Are you following me? And after that, you know how Cain and Abel, will I say they killed themselves? Because Cain killed Abel. God now cursed Cain. In one day, Eve lost her two children. But then you see in Genesis 4:26, the Bible says, and to Seth, to him was also born a son, and he called his name Enos. Who was Seth? Seth was the next child after Cain and Abel. Are you with me? And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. What's happening here? So it seemed like after Adam and Eve sinned against God, they lost something. They lost an intimacy with God. And all the other men afterward thought they were okay until a time came where they began to realize we need to start looking for God. This is how prayer was born. And unfortunately, this is how religion was born. Religion is man's way of trying to find his way back to God. Religion is man's effort in trying to find his way back to God. Are you with me? See, men somehow know, every man somehow knows that he is desperate for something that only God can give. Because when you check around the world, why is there? Have you ever seen somebody say, religion is the opium of the masses? See, even him that is saying it, Religion is not the opium of the masses. Religion is man's way. He's trying to find what is missing. No matter how rich you get, no matter how high you get, at some point, you will know that there is a hunger within me that only something divine can fill. When I heard that Steve Jobs, at the height of his career, he took a break and said, let me go to a temple. He went to a Buddhist temple to just pray. Steve Jobs didn't pray. Let me tell you, without God, this world is meaningless. So what's the point? What is the point? If you remove God out of the equation, how did we come? When we are done here, where are we going? You see, from dust you came, return back to dust. That's it. If it's dust, then it's a foolish existence. So dust just woke up. Dust just decided that human it will form human beings. It's not possible now. Praise the Lord. So all the pursuit in the world are different ways men have tried to use to give their life meaning. Are different ways men have tried to give themselves satisfaction. Every other religion tells you what you must do to be able to reach God. And you see, this is where Christianity becomes very different. Every other religion is telling you what way you will use to get to God, but Christianity is showing you what God has done to get to you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because the honest truth is, you cannot reach God on your own. If you are going to know God, God must reveal himself to you. Are you following me? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. Can you give me Amplified Classic? Is it possible? Amplified Classic. Okay. Now let's read this. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose walking through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Are you seeing this? He has planted eternity in our hearts that God alone can satisfy. So there is a divine longing in man. There is a divine desire in man. However, there is also a divine answer. So God has made us desire him, but God also has fulfilled our desire by giving us himself. God has made us desire him, and God has also fulfilled our desire by giving us himself. Look at John chapter 4. Look at John chapter 4. From verse 10 to 14. You know the story in John chapter 4 of the woman by the well, the Samaritan woman. And all that discourse before verse 10, the woman said, we Samaritans don't have any dealing with Jews. You want to draw water? Where is your bucket? Jesus said, give me to drink. And the woman was just looking for many ways to escape that responsibility. And then Jesus answered her and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, use King James now. If thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Yes, he was greater. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Hey, Jesus. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Glory. So it is because when a person believes in Jesus, Jesus plants himself in you as a well. That is why we are always going to be ever satisfied with him and him alone. Let me explain this to you. Have you ever experienced what I can call the internal rest of getting something? Let me explain. So, when you were in secondary school, you felt like, if I just pass WAEC, I've made it. And then, the way they talked about that WAEC, I felt WAEC was the most important exam in this world. Who knows what I'm talking about? O-level. Ha! So you pass O-level. You go into the university. And then, final year project. Then you come out. And then, you get a job. You feel like, then you see your friends, maybe, using an iPhone and you have been using Motorola. Does Gen Z know Motorola? Are you sure? You've been using that Motorola with blue. I remember using that Motorola with just blue light. Then my friends were using BlackBerry. Ha! I feel like the day I have BlackBerry, chai! Finally! Then you now get the BlackBerry. You feel like you have gotten the best thing in the world. When you charge it, you wake up in the night by 2 a.m. It's still there. It's not missing. You wake up by 4, it's not missing. It's there. You now discover that 1 year after, you just throw it in on the bed. The way you are treating the phone is like, you know what has happened? The rest the phone has given you has vanished. Then iPhone came. Hey! Hey! iPhone! You're using the iPhone. Then iPhone X. iPhone 11. A time now came. If you are using, you know, there was one small, is it iPod or AirPod? That they use that thing to oppress my life. You will see them playing music like this inside. You are still using Walkman. You know Walkman? Walkman where you put CD inside and you cover it and be playing the CD. When I got my first Walkman, Jesus! They now stole it because of too much excitement. He pained me. I was crying. I'm sure God never looking at me and like, hey, this is where your eternal rest was. Then I saw AirPod. Then iPhones came. I see iPhone 6, iPhone 7. Then iPhone X. You feel like when you get it, when you open the pack, unboxing. Hey, chai. Finally, I belong. 10 years down the line. So you want to install an app. See, it's no longer compatible with your iOS. After a while, they'll tell you, it's no longer compatible with this device. They are trying to tell you, throw this device away. But guess what? When you receive Jesus, you don't need to upgrade Jesus. Jesus is your eternal rest. Whenever you feel like you are feeling far, you just go and pray again, worship again. And it's like that, he's telling you that river, that well is in you, springing up to everlasting life. You will always be satisfied by his presence in you forever. Are you with me? Can you say after me? Jesus is my eternal rest. Jesus is my eternal satisfaction. See, there is a way you see a Christian worry over earthly things. You know that he has not gotten in touch with this rest. My God. I have to close. Jump on your feet. There is a way you see a believer going after worldly things. You know, this one, are we speaking down on ambition? No. But you see, the Christian does not work for rest. He works from rest. That is why, when God created the earth, when God created the earth, the Bible says 6 days, he created all everything. On the sixth day, he created man. And on the seventh day, God rested. Do you realize that the very first day of man was God's day of rest? Meaning, God was trying to say something in a picture that when the new creation is born, he is born into the rest that God has provided. Are you with me? You have come into God's rest. I thought you would say after me, I've come into God's rest. This is why Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about me. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Because you are our eternal rest. You are our satisfaction. Are you with me? You are our satisfaction. Say after me, Jesus, you are my satisfaction. Jesus, you are my satisfaction. Glory. Kai. There's a song I want to sing. Satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Some of you know it. Only you satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you say. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Oh Jesus. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you say. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. You say only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Pause. There's something else I would have loved to teach, but let's make it a prayer. Can you say after me? Heavenly Father, deliver me from restlessness. I want you to pray that prayer again. Heavenly Father, deliver me from restlessness. Deliver me from restlessness. Make it a prayer right now. Satum vraka paleka sombreketele kapai. Endera sombeleka sapalatelia. Shekepelegedu seketelia. Rato sekepeleketo sandala paleka. Lika beredega sheketepeleketelia. Zeketepelege sheketelia. Zuketepelege sheketelia. Rika barada balaga shaketeli. Sebaraka palaga do seketeli. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, do something in us that will drive us to find our rest in you alone. That will drive us to find our rest in you alone. That will drive us to find our rest in you alone. In the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard people say things like, it was when I stopped worrying about it that the thing was settled. One of the dealings of God in your life is to bring you to the place of rest. When you are at that point where you feel like, without this thing I can't live, without this thing I can't survive. No, it is only without God you cannot survive. Every other thing can wait. Are you with me? Every other thing can bow to God. Are you with me? Every other thing should bow to Him. When you see scriptures that says, he that believeth shall not make haste. And let me tell you something. It's a tool. It's a spiritual tool. When you are in a place, they bring an opportunity. You have to buy this thing now. If you don't get this thing now, you're going to miss this thing now. Calm down. Are you with me?
Calm down.
Calm down. And then you carry that haste to God, and it's like God is like... It's like God is slow. One of the most profound statements I ever heard from Bishop Oedipo is, God is not slow. Can you say after me? God is not slow. God is not slow. God is not slow. God is not slow. When I heard him say it, I said, these are the things. So, you know, when you see him, what you are seeing is jets. You don't know that there is a depth of consecration. God is not slow. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. We'll continue on Sunday. Say after me, Jesus, you are my satisfaction. Jesus, you are my satisfaction. I am satisfied in you and you alone. Amen. Shout glory.